Jayaradamad, Radamadahuma, Jai Kunjabihari, Jayarandamadava, Jai Kunjabihari, Gopichana Ballabha. Jai Giribhada Dhani, Jai Giribhada Dhani, Gopi Jana Ballabha, Jai Giribhada Dhani, Jai Giribhada Dhani, Yasoda Nandana, Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Naya Kunja Bihari Jaya Kunja Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunjabihari Radha Madhava Jaya Kunjabihari Gopi Chana Pallabha Jaya Girivaru Paramahansa Paramahacharya also Teta Sajishi Shimai His Divine Grace Abhayachananada Bhattananda Gosami Srila Prabhupada Kijai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai Namacharya Srila Vidas Thakur Kijai Prem Se Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sitvaita Kadadha Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopikopatnahat Saim Kun Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Vichuradam Kijai Jagadasami Kijai Munamai Kijai Shrimati Talasi Devi Gajai Samarita Bhakta Vrinda Gajai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Udle Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namini. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurvani Pacharani Nivashesha Shunyabadi paschacha dejatarni. So om gana timadanda shaganjana shlakya chakshur un meditam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So we're continuing with our study of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Okay. Let us go to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And first we're on the 14th chapter. The 14th chapter deals with Lord Chaitanya's childhood pastimes, which are pretty amazing. So we're sharing the screen. And just give me 1 second to get set up so that I'm aware of everything that's happening online simultaneously. All right. Here we go. Okay. Text 41. Shishu sabesh shachistane kaila nivedana shuni shachi putre kichu dila ulahana. All the children lodge complaints with Sachimata about the lords fighting with them and stealing from the neighbors' houses. Therefore, sometimes she used to chastise or rebuke her son. Kene. Churikara, kene maraha shishure, kene paragare yaha tiva nahigare. Sachimata said, why do you steal others' things? Why do you beat the other children? And why do you go inside others' houses? What do you not have in your own house? According to the Vedanta Sutra, janmadyasya yataha, this is also in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the first verse, since creation, maintenance, and annihilation exist in the Supreme Absolute, whatever we find in this material world is already in the spiritual world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna himself. How is he stealing? How is he fighting? It is not as a thief or an enemy, but as a friend in loving condition. He steals as a child, not because he is in want, but out of natural instinct. In this material world also, small children without enmity or bad will sometimes go to a neighboring house and steal, and sometimes they fight. Krishna also, like other children, did all these things in his childhood. Without the existence of the stealing propensity and fighting propensity in the spiritual world, they cannot exist here in this material world. The difference between the spiritual and material worlds is that stealing in the spiritual world is done in friendship and love, whereas fighting and stealing within this material world are executed on the basis of enmity and envy. Therefore, we should understand that in the spiritual world, all these activities exist, but there is no inebriety, whereas in the material world, all activities are full of miserable conditions. So, interesting philosophical point. Several interesting philosophical points. One is, janmajashyataha, that is, whatever we see here in this world exists in the spiritual world. And that's described in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where this world is described as a reflection of a banyan tree on the banks or on a river or on a lake. And you actually see that the branches are down and the roots are up. So the reflection indicates the reality, okay? Except it's sort of reversed. That's one point. Another point is that you may say Krishna is stealing, but it's not really stealing. Why? Because he owns everything. Ishvasham idam sarvam yatkincha jagatam jagat tena jagatena punjaha madgurha kashasvidaram. Krishna is the owner of everything, and he is the controller. He's Swaramaparama Krishna. So how can he steal something? Let's say if I come into my house and I grab my phone. Here's the phone. Am I stealing the phone? No. It's mine. It's all mine. So really, you can't steal something that belongs to you. Okay, here's another example. Krishna is dancing with so many other people's wives, having a relationship with so many other people's wives. Is that illicit? No. Why do I say that? Because those ladies, in spiritual bodies, of course, they belong to Krishna. They're Krishna's. Ultimately, everyone is Krishna's wife. They're all prakriti in relationship with the Supreme Purusha, Krishna. So how can you say that Krishna is, in essence, ontologically, you can't say that Krishna is dancing with other people's wives, because he's not. But out of pastimes, or in the pastimes, he's dancing with other people's wives. But actually, he's not. They're not other people's wives. That's just an illusion. So, using that line of reasoning, if you think someone is your wife, that's illicit. Ooh. In that sense, if you think that someone is your wife, then you are actually having a relationship with Krishna's wife. And you're an illusion. Remember that. Because everyone, all ladies are Krishna's wives, and all men are Krishna's friends or servants, like that. So you're the one in illusion who thinks you possess something. It's my wife or my husband. Actually, thinking someone is your husband is even more perverse. Why? Because your husband is prakriti. Ontologically, he's female by nature. Here, she is female. He is female. Whatever. It's female by nature. So you're even doubly an illusion. My husband. Anytime you say my anyway, it's stupid. So let's say, going back to my phone example. This is my substitute for material relationships. So, going back to my phone, if I say it is my phone, I'm stealing in another context. I'm claiming ownership over something that is not mine. However, if I say I am using this phone, which Krishna is lending to me. Okay, let's use another example. If I say, this is my body, that I'm stealing, or at least I'm speaking an untruth, a lie, because this body does not belong to me. I can say, well, the soul, or my soul, even though my soul belongs to Krishna, I mean, what do you own anyway? Nirmana Mohajita Sangha Dosha. So this soul, which I am, who is me, not is mine, there's a difference, is within this body. And this body belongs to Krishna and is not my adhikar to use the, adhikar means right, to use this body in any way that I wish, because I can only use this body in Krishna's service. And if I don't use the body in Krishna's service, then guess what? Then I am a thief. Yup. Yep, I'm a thief. Just like, all right, there's another example. Let's say, you're working for a restaurant and your job is to park cars, you know, a very fancy restaurant, okay? And someone pulls up with a fancy car. Anyway, I'll answer Prabhupada's point in a second. Someone pulls up in a fancy car and he says, can you please park my car? And you say, yes, sir. And you see, it is a nice car. It's a Maserati. And you just say, yes, sir, I'll park your car. And boo, you go off and enjoy the car. So that is improper. Thievery. Okay. Of course, nowadays they have a little switch on the car that you can put your car into a certain mode. So someone can't drive it if you're allowing them to park it. They can't drive more than 10 miles an hour, 5 miles an hour. So here's a question. But all the gopis thinking they're married to someone else and hiding and meeting with another man named Krishna that they're deep in love. That's for pastimes. I'm talking about us in this material world. The gopis thinking that they are married to someone else is yogamaya. Us thinking that we are married to someone else other than Krishna, or let's say we have some better friend than Krishna, then that is Mahamaya. It's a little bit different. Under Yogamaya, Krishna gets scared, even though he's God. Under Yogamaya, you know, Krishna's sneaking around, even though he doesn't really have to sneak around. But on the Mahamaya, we have this false sense of possession. It's my body. I can do anything I want with this body. It's mine. I can overeat. No, because you overeat, then you're hurting the body. And you eat the wrong things. You may think, I have to eat things, even if they make me sick, you know, I can't control my tongue. No, you are rascal number one. If you borrow someone's car, you better put the right gasoline or whatever in the car. I'll give you an example. Many years ago, okay, I'll answer Nalini Hunter's question in a second. Many years ago, I had a car. Well, I have a car now, too. That type of should be remained nameless. So anyway, many years, I had a car. It was called a Peugeot, which was a diesel car. And so I lent it to someone. And what did they do? They put petrol in it, or gasoline, for those of you who know what petrol is, in the diesel car. And, of course, it started going boom, boom, almost destroyed the car. And I got very angry. And so eventually we were able to drain the fuel and everything like that. So therefore, this body, it is your responsibility to take care of it nicely. If you're using it for sense grad, just feeding it and not being concerned with how you're getting sick, heart disease, and everything like that, cancer, you're thinking, I'm just attached to eating sweets. I just love to eat sweets. Maybe giving me diabetes. But hell, this body is Krishna's body. And you're giving something, you're destroying something that belongs to the owner. Just like if you rent an apartment, you get in the contract, you're responsible for any damage that occurs, and you better rectify it. So that's one reason for having a good diet and having good health. Okay, so the Lidikant asked me a very interesting question. How do we introduce wife or husband? What do we think of husband or wife? Okay, two questions. How do we introduce wife or husband? Well, we certainly don't say when we're introducing the wife or the husband, I'd like you to meet Krishna's wife. Like you meet Krishna's husband? Oh my God. It sounds like Krishna's flexible with his genders. So no, you don't say that. You understand that. Because you're in a certain culture, then you say, I'd like to meet my wife, or like you to meet my husband. But inside, you're thinking, they're not mine. You got to really be functioning in both worlds in your one foot in one world, one foot in the other world. You have to act like you're attached, but be detached. That's Krishna consciousness. And when you understand your wife or husband doesn't belong to you, you will not abuse them in any way. Because you'll see, it's Krishna's property. Krishna's property you will treat better. If you think something is your property, then you get angry when your property doesn't do what you want it to do. For example, when my computer doesn't do what I want it to do, I get angry at it and frustrated at it. But if I understand it belongs to Krishna, I'll still get angry and frustrated. Anyway, but I won't beat it. So this is important. So externally, yes, we follow a culture. We don't act like stupid, saying, I'd like you to meet Krishna's wife. Now, what are you doing running around with her? So anyway, that's the first point. And second point I already answered. What do we think of husband and wife? We think they belong to Krishna. And Krishna's put them in our care. Krishna's put the computer in my care to be used in his service. Not to be used so that I can watch all sorts of nonsense movies. Krishna's put the computer in my care to be used to serve him. Krishna's put this body in my care. Krishna's put whatever disciples I have in my care. Krishna's put whatever friends I have in my care, associates I have in my care. And if I misuse them, that is violencia. And if you don't understand that one, what that means, in Spanish, violence. Because you're impeding another living entity's progress. So it's your business to actually use everything in this world, understanding Ishavasha Midam Sarvam Yadkin Cha Jagajam Jagat. Ishopanishad, first verse. Everything is owned and controlled by the Supreme Personality. You've got it. That's the point. You don't own anything. You came into this world. You don't even, like I said, you don't own your body because you didn't buy it in the body shop. You came into this world naked. And you leave the world without anything. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But we think we own so many things, don't we? Just, my God. And then we can't go back to God. It's like swimming across a river and carrying weights. That example is given by the Acharya sometimes. That someone is having gold or whatever, riches, and they're trying to swim across the not the ocean, just the river. Anybody can swim the river. But they have all these weights on their back, and rather than give up the weights, they drown. That's amazing. People are so stupid. They drown. That means they think they can take it with them. Really important point. Really important that point. You actually drown because you're carrying all that weight. You have to be light as a feather to go back to the spiritual world. There's no other way. Nirmana moha jita sangadosha avyatmanyacha vinivritta kama. Dwandavara vimuktar sukaduka sangyar kachancha mudha. Padamaviyam tat. One has to be free. Nirmana moha, all prestige, that means ownership. Moha, illusion, jitasanga dosha, in order to maintain yourself in that consciousness, jitasanga dosha, you have to be free from bad association. Vyatma nitya, vinivritta kama, free from lust, trying to enjoy anything. Lust really means try to enjoy anything in this world. If I even try to enjoy my mobile phone, it's lust. Of course, we don't want people just to go crazy. They're already crazy. Nunam pramata kurute bikami. Yarindriya priti aprinoti nasadu manye. As Lord Rishabhadev says, when one is attached to the senses, one's already crazy. Very crazy, Lord Rishabhadev says. So we don't want people going, you need a certain amount of sense gratification. Okay, give the devil his due. You know, have a little sense gratification. We all need some, like salt. We all need some salt. Not too much, not too little. That's okay. But don't think that anything is yours. You possess. That's our problem. We're trying to possess people. It's like a horror movie when we try to possess people. Isn't it? Like if you go up to someone, I want to possess you. That's frightening. But the same thing is when someone says, I'm yours and you're mine. That's the same thing. Okay. Enough sannyas kata. Okay, hope that answers everybody's question. Little humor for tonight's class. Shuni kuroda anna prabhu jara vitara yanna gariyata bandha chila pelila vangya. Thus rebuked by his mother, the Lord would go in anger to a room and break all the pots within it. So Lord Chaitanya even threw fits. Because when he does it, it's adorable. When your son or daughter does it, it's just like, oh, obnoxious. You know, you hear people crying. Of course, if it's your son or daughter, then you love it. That's your attachment. That's interesting. Actually, I was just thinking about this. So if one feels some bond or connection, then the object or the person they feel connected to could almost do anything and they think it's adorable. So if it's Krishna, you think it's adorable. Or if you feel connected to your children, even if your children turn out to be rascals, then you think they're just adorable rascals. Like Prabhupada said, a blind son is called the lotus eye by the mother. Or, here's another disgusting example from Prabhupada. The mother thinks the child's excrement is like sandalwood paste. Yuck. But anyway, that shows the connection. Where there's love, then there's no question of repulsion. That's amazing. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was embracing Sanatana Goswami, even though Sanatana Goswami had all these sores all over his body, and the sores were oozing pus. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that because I think of you like my children. So what does that mean for us? That means that all of us are, we may not necessarily have sores in our body, but our consciousness is like that. We are oozing the pus of material consciousness continually on Krishna, in opposition to Krishna. And Krishna is still embracing us. That is his compassion. That is Lord Chaitanya's compassion. Anyway, so that's what we can learn from Lord Chaitanya embracing Sanatana Goswami. Okay, tavi shachi kole kari karaila santosha lajita khayila prabhu jani nijadosha. Then Shachi Mata would take her son under lap and pacify him, and the Lord would be very much ashamed admitting his faults. There's a nice description of the faults of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his childhood in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adikanda, chapter 3, where it is said that as a child the Lord used to steal all kinds of eatables from the houses of neighboring friends. In some houses he would steal milk and drink it, and he would break cooking pots. Whoops, sorry, I skipped. In others he would steal and eat prepared rice. Sometimes he would break cooking pots. If there were nothing to eat, but there were small babies, the Lord would tease the babies and make them cry. Sounds like Krishna. Sometimes a neighbor would complain to Shachimata, "My child is very small, but your child puts water in his ears and makes him cry." Oh my goodness. Kabu mridu hasti kaila mata ke tadana mata ke morchita deki kariye krandana. Once the child, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, chastised his mother with a soft hand, and his mother, pretending to faint, seeing this, the Lord began to cry. Nari gani kani, nari kela deha ani. Tabe shushtahab ivena tamara janani. Yes, he's worse than Krishna. The neighboring ladies told him, "Dear child, please bring a coconut from somewhere, and then your mother will be cured." Bahire anna anilena dvi narikela dekya purva hela vismita sakala. He then went outside the house and immediately brought two coconuts. All the ladies were astonished to see such wonderful activities. Kabu shishu sangi snana kalilas gangate kanyagana ela tahan devata hushite. Sometimes the Lord would go with other children to bathe in the Ganges, and the neighboring girls would also come there to worship various demigods. This is a wonderful story. According to the Vedic system, when small girls 10 or 12 years old go to the bank of the Ganges to take their bath, they would especially worship Lord Shiva with prayers to get good husbands in the future. They especially wanted to get a husband like Lord Shiva because Lord Shiva is very peaceful and at the same time most powerful. Formerly, therefore, small girls in Hindu families would worship Lord Shiva, especially in the month of Vaishakha, April, May. To take a bath in the Ganges is a great pleasure for everyone, not only for adults, but for children also. It is a fact. Ganga snana kari puja karite lagila kanya gana maji prabhu asisha vasila. When the girls engaged in worshipping the different demigods after bathing in the Ganges, the young lord would come there and sit down among them. Kanya kare kai ama puja ami divavara ganga durga dasi mora mahesha kinkara. It's so funny what he just said. Addressing the girls, the Lord would say, "Worship me and I shall give you good husbands or good benedictions. The Ganges and goddess Durga are my maidservants. What to speak of other demigods, even Lord Shiva is my servant." Because this is the truth. There's a misconception about the Hindu religion among people who profess other religions, such as Christians and Muslims, who say that in the Hindu religion there are many gods. Actually, it's not a fact. God is one, but there are many other powerful living entities who are in charge of different departments of administration. They are called demigods. All the demigods are servants who carry out the orders of the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disclosed this fact in his childhood out of ignorance. Sometimes people worship the demigods and receive some particular boon, but actually one who becomes a devotee and worshiper of the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not need to go to the demigods for any benediction because he obtains everything by the grace of the Supreme Lord. The Bhagavad Gita in the 7th chapter, text 20 and 28, therefore condemns such demigod worship. Only persons whose intelligence is lost and who are mad with lusty desires worship the demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their natures. Yesham Twatakatam Papam Kinanam Punyakarmanam Tidwandva Mahanirmukta Bhajanti Bam Dridapatap. But persons who are freed from all sinful activities and the duality of delusion engage themselves in the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with determination. Only the less intelligent worship the demigods for their particular purposes. The most intelligent worship only the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is that? Krishna! Sometimes we, the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, are accused of not approving of the worship of demigods. But how can we approve of this when it is condemned by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna? How can we allow people to become foolish and aritta jnana, Bhagavad Gita 7:20, bereft of intelligence? Our propaganda is simply meant to enable intelligent people to understand the distinction between matter and spirit and understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the whole spiritual identity. That is our mission. How could we mislead people into worshiping so-called gods of material bodies within this material world? Our position of not allowing worship of many hundreds of demigods was confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even in his childhood. Srila Narottamadas Thakur is sung in this connection. Anya devashraya nai tumare kahinubai e bhakti paramakarana. To become a staunch, pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without deviation, Ananya Bhak, one should not divert his attention to the worship of the demigods. Such control is a symptom of pure devotional service. Of course, sometimes when we're preaching to people who are really attached to demigods, we just say, put them on a lower level on the altar, and you offer to Krishna, and then they can take the remnants of Krishna, because they're demigods, they're devotees, maybe Sakama devotees, but they like to eat Krishna prasad. Apani chandana pari parena pulamala naiveja kadhyakana sandesha chala kala. Without the permission of the girls, the Lord would take the sandalwood pulp and smear it on his own body, put the flower garlands on his neck, and snatch and eat all the offerings of sweetmeats, rice, and bananas. What a rascal! According to the system of worship, when something is offered to the deities outside one's home, it is generally not cooked food, but raw rice, bananas, and sweetmeats. Out of his causeless mercy, the Lord would snatch the offerings from the girls and eat them, admonishing the girls not to worship the demigods, but to worship him. This worship of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna Bharanam, Tvisa Krishnam, Sango Pangas Traparshadam Yagai Sankirtana Prayar Yajantihi Sumedasa. One should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears in this age of Kali with his associates as the Panchatattva, the Lord himself, and his associates Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Advaita Prabhu, Sri Gadadhar Prabhu, and Srivasa Thakura. In this age, an intelligent person worships the Panchatattva by the method of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and, if possible, distributing prasadam. Our Krishna Consciousness Movement is introducing this bona fide method of worship in the Western world. Its members are going from village to village and town to town with deities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, teaching people how to worship the Lord by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, offering prasad, and distributing prasadam to people in general. Krode kanyagana kahe shuna he nimani grama sambande al tumi Ama Savara Bhai. All the girls became very angry at the Lord for this behavior. Dear Nimai, they told him, you are just like our brother in our village relationship. Ama Savakara Paksha Iha Karite Na Yuyaya. Nalaha Devata Saja Nakara Undyaya. Therefore, it does not behoove you to act like this. Don't take our paraphernalia for worship of the demigods. Don't create a disturbance in this way. Prabhu Kai. Toma Savake Dila Ivara. Toma Savara Varata Kabi Paramasundara. The Lord replied, my dear sisters, I give you the benediction that your husbands will be very handsome. Pandita Vidagda Yuvadana Danyavan. Wow, the girls love this. Sata Sata Putuhabe. Trayu Matiman. Oh, so funny. They will be learned, clever, and young, and possess abundant wealth and rice. Not only that, but you will each have 7 sons who will all live long lives and be very intelligent. Generally, it is the ambition of young girls to have a very handsome husband who is learned, clever, young, and rich. According to the Vedic culture, one is rich if he possesses a large stock of food grain and a very large number of animals. Danyena danavan gavaya full of riches. One is rich if he possesses food, grain, cows, and bulls. A girl also desires to have many children, especially sons. Puchu are very intelligent and long-lived. Now, because society has deteriorated, there is propaganda to have 1 or 2 children and kill the rest by contraceptive methods. But the natural ambition of a girl is to possess not only more than 1 child, but at least 6 Actually, the only way they can do that is having an extended family. Because if you simply have a nuclear family, it's too much burden for the husband and wife. In exchange for the paraphernalia of worship, he usurped for himself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to bless the girls to fulfill all their ambitions and desires. One can easily become happy and obtain the material benefits of a good husband, wealth, food, grain, and a number of nice children by worshiping Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas at an early age, it is not necessary for his devotees to follow him by also taking sannyas. One can stay a householder, but one must be a devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then one will be happy with all material opulences of a good home, good children, good mate, good wealth, and everything he desires. Therefore, the Shastras advise, Yajna Sankirtana Prayar Yashanti Sumedha Sai. Sumedha Saha, sorry. That means that one should worship Krishna using the chanting or the congregational chanting of his holy names. If one has good brains, one should do this as a sacrifice. Every householder, therefore, who is actually intelligent should introduce this Sankirtan movement home to home and live peacefully in this life and go back to Godhead in the next. Varakshuni kanya ganare antare santosha bahire bharsana kare kare nitya dosha. Hearing this benediction from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the girls were inwardly very happy, but externally, as is natural for girls, they rebuked the Lord under the pretense of anger. This double dealing is natural for girls. When they are satisfied within, they externally show dissatisfaction. Such feminine dealings are very palatable to boys who try to make friendships with them. Kona kanya palaila naivedya lahiya taridaki kahi prabhu sakrodha haiya. When some of the girls fled, the Lord called them in anger and advised them as follows. Yadi nivedya na deha haiya kripare Buddha Bharata Habi Ara Chari Chari Satini. If you are miserly and do not give me the offerings, every one of you will have an old husband with at least 4 co-wives. In India in those days, and even until 50 years ago, polygamy was freely allowed. Any man, especially the higher caste, Brahmins, Vaishyas, and particular Kshatriyas, could marry more than one wife. In the Mahabharata, or in the old history of India, we see that Kshatriya kings especially used to marry many wives. According to Vedic civilization, there was no restriction against this, and even a man more than 50 years old could marry. But to be married to a man who had many wives was not a very pleasing situation, because the husband's love would be divided among his many wives. To punish the girls unwilling to offer him the naivedya, that means the offering, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu apparently wanted to curse them to be married to men who had at least 4 wives. The social structure allowing a man to marry more than one wife can be supported in this way. Generally, in every society, the female population is greater in number than the male population. Therefore, if it is a principle in the society that all girls should be married unless polygamy is allowed, it will not be possible. If all the girls are not married, there's a good chance of adultery, and a society in which adultery is allowed cannot be very peaceful or pure. In our Krishna conscious society, we have restricted illicit sex. The practical difficulty is to find a husband for each and every girl. We are therefore in favor of polygamy, provided, of course, that the husband is able to maintain more than one wife. Of course, anyway, not going to enter into that controversy, because Prabhupada said things in both ways. So I will get in trouble. Don't want to be in trouble. So I'm not going to talk about it. But anyway, nowadays in India, there are actually more boys being born than girls, and the reason for that is horrendous. It's what they call selective abortion. In other words, people have these ultrasounds. Even there's these portable ultrasound trucks that go around, and they look at the wombs of the ladies who are pregnant, and they see what is the gender of the child. And if the gender happens to be female, the lady goes for an abortion. Same thing in China. Really bad. So there's a scarcity right now of girls rather than a scarcity of men. So, Iha Shuni. And actually, I was just reading the news somewhere that in some places in India, they have many men married to the same lady. Just like in the Mahabharata. They're brothers, of course. And that's not a good scene. Iha shuni ta savara mane hoiva voya. Kona kichu jane kiva deva vishta hoya. Hearing this supposed curse by Lord Chaitanya, the girls, considering that he might know something uncommon or be empowered by demigods, were afraid that his curse might be effective. Anya naiveja tara samuke darila kaya naiveja kare ishtavara dila. The girls then brought the offerings before the Lord, who ate them all and blessed the girls for their satisfaction. So that's under duress or threat, the girls complied. So this is a pastime. We shouldn't make people comply by threatening. E mata chapalya savalokera dekaya dukha karo mani nahi savi sukopaya. When this cunning behavior of the Lord with the girls became known to the people in general, it did not create misunderstandings among them. Rather, they enjoyed happiness in these dealings. Ekadina balavacharya kanya lakshmi nama devata pujate aila kari ganga snana. One day, a girl of the name Lakshmi, the daughter of Balabhacharya, came to the bank of the Ganges to take a bath in the river and worship the demigods. According to the Gauragata Deshtipika, Lakshmi was formerly Janaki, the wife of Lord Ramchandra, and Rukmini, the wife of Lord Krishna and Dwarka. The same goddess of fortune descended as Lakshmi to become the wife of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tandre Deki Prabhura Haila Savila Shamana Lakshmi Chitti Priti Paila Prabhura Dashana. Seeing Lakshmi Devi, the Lord became attached to her, and Lakshmi Devi, upon seeing the Lord, felt great satisfaction within her mind. Sahajika Priti Dunhara Karila Udaya Malya Mavachana Tabu Haila Dishchaya. Their natural love for each other awakened, and although it was covered by childhood emotions, it became apparent that they were mutually attracted. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lakshmi Devi are eternal husband and wife. Therefore, it was quite natural for their dormant love to awaken when they saw each other. Their natural feelings were immediately awakened by their meeting. So we are going to end here on page 64. Tomorrow we'll do 65. Let me write that down. Quite an interesting part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, very sweet nectarian part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay. So, if anyone doesn't like what Lord Chaitanya is doing, please ask a question. If you're feeling hypercritical of Lord Chaitanya, just let me know. And you can be a rascal. So, anybody have any questions on that happy note? Nobody has any questions. At least I can't hear any. No?
I'll ask them.
Okay.
Yeah. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Sapnahabala Vitamins to you. So in text 55, Guru Maharaj, it says, I think it was text 55, it says like, one needs to do, if they're intelligent, they need to do Harinam Sankirtan this life and then go back home, back to Godhead in the next.
Yes.
So this morning I was listening to one of Akai's class, I think it was by Her Grace Narayani Mataji, and she was saying that it takes 4 lifetime to become Krishna consciousness. So I just wanted to...
Where did she get that information from? I never read that information. It takes 4 lifetimes to become Krishna conscious.
Yeah, because Srila Prabhupada says like it takes a moment.
Yeah, it takes as long as one wants. It can take 1,000,000 lifetimes, or it can take 4 seconds, or it can take 0.5 seconds, depending on one's determination, desire. 4 lifetimes. That reminds me of something that people used to tell the ladies. They used to say to the ladies, very chauvinistic thing, they said, if you are very nice in this lifetime, become attached to your husband, then you'll be very fortunate to become a man in your next life.
Yeah.
And if you're very fortunate like that, then you could become Krishna conscious. But right now, you know, just suffer, lady. That's These things are not in Shastra. Actually, the gopis were ladies, and they were Krishna conscious. So not that they had, and their husbands were just not actually their husbands anyway. I mean, look at most of the demons. You got a few lady demons, like Putana, Sarpanaka. Actually, but they actually went back to Godhead. Actually, it's interesting. Now that I think of it, the lady demons that I'm thinking of, generally they went back to Godhead, and the men demons didn't.
Actually, I heard that because of Putana, Bakasura and the other one, they actually went back to Godhead because of
Oh, that's not, I never read that.
okay,
That's
so
another I heard story.
right. Okay.
They may have got liberated but didn't go back to Godhead. But
Yeah,
Putana
yeah.
went back to Godhead, Sarpanaka went back to Godhead when she took birth as Kubja. So I think that the ladies stand a better chance of going back to Godhead than men do. So you can tell the men that if they become attached to their wives and take birth as a lady in the next life, then they can go back to Godhead. How many qualities does Lord Chaitanya have? Unlimited. Sometimes we find there's 64 qualities, but really it's unlimited. Like, you have 64 qualities of Krishna, four of which only Krishna has, which differentiate him from the other incarnations. But really, Krishna has unlimited qualities. These are just different lists. So anyway, so no, you don't have to wait till your next life. You should just serve Krishna in this life and you go back to Godhead.
That'll be so nice if I can go back home, back to Godhead in this life.
Yes, you just serve Krishna in this life. And anyway, whether one has a husband or not a husband, or a wife or not a wife, or a pet cat or pet dog, one can still go back to Godhead.
Thank you very much for that.
Oh, okay,
I guess
Rishikesh, you're making noise.
the difference between a female body, a spiritual body, and a male spiritual body? What the difference is, other than the shape, of course?
Well,
Is there
there's a lot of noise coming. There's a
becoming?
lot of no noise coming from you. A lot of it's crickling. It's hard to understand. Can you
Can
stop
you hear me
moving
now?
for a second? If you stop moving for a second and just talk, I'll be able to hear you clearly. Okay, talk. Now I can't hear you. There's some disconnect in your microphone.
Gurudev, can you hear me now? Sorry.
I hear you better. Yeah, the better to hear you with.
Yeah, I was wondering, Gurudev, what determines if someone gets a spiritual female body and spiritual male body? Is it a difference other than a shape? It all depends upon the attitude or what determines it?
What determines whether you get a spiritual male body, a spiritual female body, just depends on your rasa with Krishna. Depends on your
Okay.
relationship with Krishna. If you're a gopi, most likely you won't have a male body.
Okay.
Not too many men are dancing with Krishna in the rasa. Like
Is that
there's a
something
story.
the
You have that body
Krishna
already,
decides
right?
whether I have a male body or spiritual body or female?
You have your spiritual body, you've forgotten it. Just like Narada Muni, he wanted to go see the rasa dance and they wouldn't let him in. Mahadev, who was a lady, would not let him in, so Narada Muni had to go bathing in the Kushama Sarovara so he could go to see Krishna's rasa dance. Anyway, yeah. You got an appropriate body, a spiritual body. You are. You have your body. You are your body in the spiritual world. You already have that body, but you don't recognize it. You just don't recognize it. It's there. It's like you have
Sorry,
amnesia.
Gurudev, my connection. I'm sorry, I'm driving.
Yeah, it's very, your voice is broken up. So yeah, it's too broken up. So anyway, so yeah, you have a spiritual body. You are your spiritual body. And you've forgotten it. You have amnesia. Amnesia means you forgot. Who else has a question? We still got a few more minutes. No one else has a question. I guess it's everyone's tired now. Oh, Kunamai, it's good to see you in the UK. Haven't seen you for a long time. How are the cows?
I have a question.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this in relation to female Diksha Guru, sort of a step down, where you speak about how women or Vaishnavis specifically have the qualification or could potentially have the qualification of being a guru because it's based on the quality of that individual soul. And I was
Yes.
thinking about it as a step down in relation to husbands and wives or in relation to marriage, that we often hear how different Vaishnava men have these very deep and intimate loving relationships with each other. But then we regularly hear that men and women, or like women are Maya, and that husband's attachment to his wife will like degrade him from his spiritual practice. And I think that brings a lot of tension in relationships and marriages, trying to navigate what
Oh,
that
yeah.
means or what that looks like. So I was wondering if you could speak about that a little bit in relation to.
Prabhupada actually said that if one's wife is a Vaishnavi, that atta same attachment. There's actually a statement by Lord Kapiladeva that the same attachment that one has can also liberate one. It's something like the example Prabhupada gave of the thorn, to remove a thorn, that if one has an attachment for a Vaishnava or Vaishnavi, that will liberate one, if the person is actually Vaishnava or Vaishnavi. And the reason why, it's sometimes listed that women, one has to be careful about being attached to women, etc., is because the scriptures were written by men, but if the scriptures were written by women, it would actually say the same thing and be just as valid. It just depends who's writing it. Just like a If I write scriptures, I will say that everybody should study science and engineering. But if you were to write the scriptures, you say everyone should study design. So everyone has a particular slant on things. Or if I were to say, if someone were to ask me what's the dangerous, most dangerous Maya in this world, I would say electronic gadgets. That would be, or cars like Tesla cars or something like that. Anyway, that's the most dangerous. So everybody has his own brand of illusion. So it just so happens that because of the setup of Varnashram or Vedic society, the way it was previously set up, and there's reasons for it. That usually the men were the educated people, although the women were also educated. But it was really more of a domestic type of situation. It wasn't it was pre-industrialized civilization. So what do I mean by pre-industrialized? Well, industrialized civilization, the way the economies are set up is that both people have to work to make a living. It's just that that's the way it is. And then also, not so much farming is required because you can have, like in America, I think it's like 3% or something, 3 to 4% of the people in America are engaged in farming. And that 3 to 5%, they're all Mexicans anyway, so 90% of them are Mexicans. Which is really interesting because the Americans are too damn lazy to do any farming. Most of them, not every American. I mean, you ask Americans to take care of cows, or Europeans for that matter, they'll probably ask for people to come in from Poland or from Eastern European countries. Isn't that true, Karunamai? that a lot of the farming's done in Germany, practically all the farming's done by Polish people. So anyway, so they import people. So the point is, we're living in an industrialized society. An industrialized society, there's not a lot of need for people to be engaged in farming, because their farming is done by a small segment of the population and also by machines, which Prabhupada said the machines that we use, you know, tractors and so forth, they put people out of work. They create unemployment. So in a agriculturally based society, basically the men have to be out there all day long, basically during the planting season, which is most of the year in India. They not in the West, because in the West they have the snow season. In the UK they have the rainy season, which is 365 days a year. Yeah, the UK only has one season, rainy season. What a sinful country that is. Anyway, so it's like where Yamaraj sends people who are impious to the UK. I'm saying that because it's Karuna Mai is from the UK. And she left heaven to go to the UK. She left Australia, which is like heaven, to go to the UK. Anyway, so getting back to the point. So in a pre-industrialized society, then the woman is generally at home. Try to understand that at home, the families are bigger, because in a pre-industrialized society, it's not expensive to have a lot of children. One could have like 10 or... I mean, I know people in India who have like 11 brothers and sisters. And it was because each and every one of them was able, because the family helped each other. Now, if someone tries to have 11 or 12 children, unless they happen to be Bill Gates or something, or extremely rich, in industrialized society, it's just like, it's crazy. It's like that nursery rhyme, Old Mother Hubbard lived in a shoe. She had so many children, she didn't know what to do. Yeah, living in a shoe is not the best situation for that many children. So anyway, if you have one child, you could live in a shoe. So anyway, so the point being that in that particular situation, because there were so many children, the woman would stay at home and take care of the children. I mean, that's just natural. And therefore, the men, they took more of a leadership role in society. I'm not saying it's better. I'm not saying it's worse. All I'm saying is that's the way pre-industrial society was. And because of that, these scriptures were generally written from the male perspective, because the women had the main service of taking care of all those little creatures. I was just talking to one devotee, and she was telling me how her mother used to put her as a baby under the care of her grandfather, and the grandfather would call her the thing. You know, there's a little baby. You say, what am I going to do with that thing? You know, generally, if you put a little baby under the care of a man, man's going to go, oh my God, what am I going to do with that thing? So the mother's affection generally is much more intense than the man's affection. That's why Prabhupada said that mother's love for a child is greater than the father's love for a child. Even he said that in regard to Yashoda Mai, her love for Krishna is greater than that of than Nanda Maharaj's love. So anyway, so the point is, the scriptures were written in a pre-industrialized society. So therefore you have a male perspective. But when you have a different type of society where everyone is educated equally, et cetera, like that, then you have to have scriptures written from both perspectives. You have to have a different viewpoint. So you have to understand, when understanding scripture, this is called hermeneutics. which my guru, Mother Ermila, taught me about. Ma Rani. Hope she's not listening. Oh my God, I'd be in trouble if she's listening. No, thank God. Okay, so you have this thing called hermeneutics. So when you read scripture, apart from, let's say, irrefutable, absolute points, like you're not the body, you're part and parcel of Krishna, chanting the holy names, other things can be and are slanted in a certain direction based upon the society, based upon the context in which it was written. So that's a very important hermeneutical consideration. You know, when and where was the Shastra written? And who was it written for? And what was the sociological makeup and economic makeup of that society? And that's why you have that apparent slant where ladies are considered, you know, illusion for men. But in any case, getting back to the point, is if someone is a Vaishnava or Vaishnavi, Lord Kapiladeva says that same attachment can bring one or make one liberated or make one Krishna conscious. Hope that answers that question. But it was a good question. So, but the attachment has to be based on pleasing Krishna, you know, not just possessing someone. If you think you possess a Vaishnava or a Vaishnavi, that's illusion too. You know, that is big illusion. You're mine. It's a good question. Good question. I mean, just like if you have a car, if you think the car belongs to you, it's a, you know, it's basically illusion. All right? Okay, time to call it a night. Okay, so tomorrow, same time, same station. And, tomorrow. Starting Saturday, our time, I'll be traveling, and we'll have the class at the same time. Don't worry about it. So I am going to get in an airplane on Saturday. I am so ecstatic. You know, I haven't seen an airplane for a whole year. It's like feeling separation is like a moment is like 12 years or more. And so I would love to go to New Zealand, Australia, UK. But all these places are just like in Maya. Because they haven't recognized my position. Anyway, so no, they haven't taken enough vaccine. But I'm ready to travel, you know. So hopefully we'll see some of you in Australia, New Zealand, and Fiji within a year. Or this year, if we can. Actually, Estonia in Europe has opened up, but I still can't go there because they're not allowing Americans anywhere in the EU, and they're part of the EU. I think by midsummer in the Northern Hemisphere, things will open up in Europe. If the vaccines are distributed enough and they don't get scared of the vaccines, which they seem to be doing right now. Okay, on that happy note, we'll see everybody soon. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.